If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn. You can do that on your physical Bible, on your iPad, your phone, or on the screen if you want to look. Not to John 3:16, but to Joel 3:16. And it reads this way, "And the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Let me read that again. "And the Lord," why don't you read that with me? We'll get together. Ready? One, two, three. "And the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children of Israel." I want you to know that God has a roar. Say, God has a roar. God does not roar, God does not speak, God does not act without a specific strategic purpose. I liken that verse that says, and God will roar from heaven and the earth will shake. God is a spirit, but the realm of the spirit started before the realm of this three-dimensional world that he created for humanity. So when God roars, even the natural things begin to shake. I want you to catch that. So when God roars, when God speaks, when God acts, he is expecting a change in the world. Amen. Not that the change, the world even wants to change. It doesn't always want to change. But when God speaks, it's a decree. It's a powerful command. He commands from heaven and the earth shakes. I like that you're reminded of the verse of Isaiah 55:11 that we quote a lot about how God's word goes forth that shall not return void but shall accomplish that to which it sent. But the verse 10 is also very powerful. And it says that as the rain and the snow fall from heaven and waters the earth and makes it produce. Makes it produce. So, verse 11, so shall God's word be that goes forth out of his mouth. It shall not return void. So when God's word goes forth, it's an expectation of a result to happen that can be seen by the natural eye.
Amen.
Praise God for the spiritual side of it. Praise God. But if all you do is stop of what you sense that God is doing but never see what God's doing, you miss out a little bit what God has for you. 1 John 1, we have seen with our eyes, heard with our ears, and beheld and handled with our hands that word of life. There's something God wants us to get a hold of today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We've been doing the series called The Roar of Heaven. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In quick review, Revelation 5:5. And we've talked about different things that he has spoken and how it affects and relates to us. One was when he was on the cross and he yelled, "It is finished." You don't know what that means till you know what he started. You can't tell what something when someone says it's done until you know what began.
Right.
It could be dinner. It could be the job. It could be a paper. It could be a task. When Jesus said, "It is finished," a lot of people are like, "Yeah, great, it's finished." Well, they don't even know what he began. So how do they know what it means when he said it's finished? And so it's important for us to see and know the benefit. And we tied that to the year of Jubilee. Because under the year of Jubilee, and this is the context that Jesus was quoting out of Isaiah when he did it in the New Testament, that in part of the year of Jubilee, every 50th year, the debt was canceled. Say, debt canceled.
Debt canceled.
Prisoner set free. And everything goes back to the original owner. You know, that's not only natural, but spiritual. When you get saved, the price of your debt is canceled. You don't have to live in condemnation.
Amen.
You don't have to live in guilt. It's behind you.
Yes.
It's behind you. And actually, be more accurate, it's not even you. If someone said, "Didn't you?" you can say no. Because my Bible says that, behold, all things are new. That you are a new creation in Christ. Behold, all things are new. So if someone says, "Didn't you 30 years ago? Wasn't that you that lied to me?" No, it wasn't me. No, that's somebody else. You can take them to the graveyard, amen, and show them where that dead person, old person is. You don't have to be bound by the condemnation. That's why Romans 8 says that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? I'm going to keep you working with me. We're going to walk through this together, amen. And so if you're struggling today, let me just speak to your heart. If you're like, "Oh, I'm still, I know God's forgiven me. I know Jesus loves me, but I'm just still under that guilt and condemnation." Let me tell you, he paid for it. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free from all condemnation that the enemy would use against you. Amen. Last week we talked about finding your roar. Because you are part of the family of God. Jesus, the Bible says, is your brother. You're same heavenly father. Therefore, if you're the brother of a lion, you must be a lion too.
That's right.
For the righteous are bold as a lion. We got to learn to find our roar.
Right.
God wants you to be sensitive to him, but that doesn't mean you need to be passive in everything you do in the world. Sometimes we misunderstand realms and dimensions and placement. You act and are to be different based on who you're dealing with. You don't act the way you do to your spouse as you do to your children. That would be weird. There's difference. Can I get an amen? So how you respond to God should be different how you respond to the devil. We've misunderstood and taken a verse out of context, and we think that we got to be passive and polite to the devil. I don't find that in the Bible. I remember in seventh grade, I was at a Lutheran school, and I'm not bashing a Lutheran school, but it was the worst year of my life. But anyway, I ended up, because I tend to argue when I was younger, even in seventh grade, and I was arguing with the priest, and I was in the middle of a debate with the priest. Here is a 12, 13-year-old kid debating with a grown man who's a priest of this Lutheran school, and our argument was he had taken the context that we're supposed to love and pray for our enemies, that we should love the devil. He's our enemy, and the Bible says to love your enemies. And I'm like, nope, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. I talk about taking things. Even at 12, 13 years old, I had enough wisdom, enough common sense, come on somebody, to know that that just didn't sound right. Now, some of us, we've gone through the church world long enough, and we've heard some stuff that just didn't sound right. And you're like, well, I guess I'll believe it because they said it. And the culture at Hope Church is don't believe anything anybody says. Challenge everything with the Word of God. You need to understand it. Because that Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the inward witness, many times will kind of give you a red flag. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. And when you hear and see the Word of God, if it's in conflict to what you've been told, let me help you. Let go of what you were told and hang on to the Word of God. Amen. Get a hold of the Word of God. Now let me read out of James. Today we're going to be talking about raising your roar. Raising the volume of your roar. You could say it this way, how to pray powerful prayers.
Right.
A lot of people can pray. A lot of people pray that they don't know God, they don't know his word. I mean, you just watch movies, and this happens in real life. You watch a movie, and people on the plane, and turbulence starts going bad, and the pilot says, we have difficulties, prepare to crash. I mean, how do you prepare to crash? Exactly what position? Oh, you got to put your hands over the back of your neck and bend. Well, why would you do that? What does it make a difference? You would think if they say, prepare to crash, everybody should take off the buckles and just run back and forth. I mean, what difference does it make? Can I get it? Does that make sense?
Right.
It's like, oh, there's a tornado or something. Let's all get under our table or our desk. Remember that as kids, they would do that? Why would we do that? Let's get into a room that don't have windows or something, because if God forbid something's going to happen, I don't know what that little table of or little desk of mine when I was, I don't know why I'm talking about being a kid. Maybe I'm feeling good. I don't know. And so it's like, why don't they do what they, you got to sometimes challenge ideas. Everybody bend over. You're sitting in a plane and it's 50,000 feet in the air going 600 miles. And God forbid if it's going down, what do you care what position you're in? You might as well just prop your feet up, lean back, call for a Coca-Cola. What are you doing? If God's able to save me, but if he doesn't, I'm going to enjoy the last. Bring me some of that cake I wasn't able to eat. Bring it all out. I'm going to enjoy this ride one way or the other. It's going to be a miracle. I'm going to end up in heaven, or God's going to do something amazing. But either way, why should I stress about it? You can't do anything about it, right? I don't know where I'm going with that. We've already sidetracked ourselves and we even got into the word. Oh, I know, because you'll see on movies and the pilot will say, we're gonna crash, and everybody starts quoting scripture like they're praying. It's like, they think they're praying. They don't. How do you know if you know how to pray? Well, you can see results, right? Results should be, you can judge things by the fruit, Jesus said. What's the results? You know, if you have somebody pray for you and they don't get any results, why do you keep going to them?
Come on.
And praise God for people to pray for you. But our goal is not just always to look for somebody to pray for you. And there's a prayer of agreement. That's important. That's one of the prayers. But I want you to be so developed in the faith that if nobody was for you and everybody was against you, if you have God on your side, you are greater because there's more for you than against you. And you know how to pray and access God yourself.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just going to go to this service, to this meeting, to this person. I know they're anointed. And I'm going to get my miracle. Well, it's God doing it, not them. What if they have an off night? What if they just had a bad night? Yes. What if they just got ticked and they don't even care what they're saying right now? You don't know. We need to understand the principles of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We need to be able to understand as believers. It doesn't mean that you're in full-time ministry. But if you're a child of God, you can understand how to approach the throne of God and to pray and see results. You should be by James at this point. If you're not, just put your thumb in your Bible, flip it over, and act like you're going to know it by heart. Verse 16, the latter part says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, Amplified translation, by the way, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
See, the devil will say, you're not righteous. Yeah, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. It's because of Jesus, not because of you. That doesn't mean you can do anything. That doesn't mean you can live in sin and anything goes. Romans 6 says, no, we don't use the freedom God's given us to live in sin.
Right.
He said, God forbid. So we're all part of this. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Your prayers have the potential for tremendous power. Your prayers have the potential for, say, my prayer has the potential, say, has the potential for tremendous power. Now, when you have to understand the boundaries of prayer. You can't force people to do stuff they don't want, but you have the power of prayer. You know how I know when people aren't praying? And I'm not looking at nobody, so no one thinks. Here's a natural way of knowing if you or somebody around you is not praying. Because if you're not praying, typically you will end up complaining. Because if you're complaining, it's showing that there's something in your world that you don't like and you can't do anything about it. But if you understand the power of your prayer, you don't have to complain. You just smile and say, I'm going to go pray. Because you know prayer has the potential of tremendous power when unleashed.
Yes.
Like to say it this way, God forbid someone tries to break into your house and you have a gun and a cell phone. I'll give you two options. You can call 911 or you can... Sound of that shotgun, you know what I mean? But you know what you probably won't be doing is crying. Now, if you don't have either, you'll probably be crying. But if you got them both, you don't need to be crying, right? So when you got prayer, you don't need to be complaining.
Amen.
Now let's keep reading. Elijah, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, with the same physical and mental and spiritual limitations and shortcomings, and he prayed intensely for it not to rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. I love what is being said here. Because what it's trying to draw attention to, or James is trying to draw attention to, is that, hey, don't put Elijah on a pedestal. That's a human nature. We put who God is using on a pedestal. And it's one thing to respect what God's doing. It's another, and it's also a good thing to honor people and honor who God's using. But if we're not careful, we will put them on a pedestal, and it's dangerous. Two reasons, and I'll make it quick. Number one, if they ever fall, you could be devastated spiritually. Because your walk with God should be built on who Jesus is and his word, not on people. All right? Well, they were supposed to be an anointed and great preacher, and they felt, well, they might have, but they're real. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God. Listen, people can be people, and people will disappoint if you build your life on the rock of people.
Right.
But if you build your life on the rock of the word, if everybody messes up, you'll still stand.
Amen.
Because you're not built on someone else's relationship. You're built on your relationship with the word of God.
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Number two, the danger of putting people on a pedestal is that you'll begin to think that they're so special and unique that they're doing stuff that you can't.
Wow.
Wow, look what God's using. I wish God could use me that way, but probably won't ever happen. And there's uniqueness in the body of Christ. I get that. The Bible says we're the part of the body in many different parts, and we come together. But if you're like, man, that person, when they pray, God answers. Woo, there's something special about them. You know, and can I give you a little inside track? It's a lot of spiritual leaders do that on purpose because it makes them look special, and we're all special. Jesus loves all of us.
Amen.
But if Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, why do you think that all of a sudden they're doing something that you can't? Oh, wow, they prayed for people and they answered. Man, there's some amazing things God's doing. Praise God, God's doing something amazing in and through their life. And it might be uniquely different than your life, but God can do equally powerful things in your life too.
Amen.
And so you never want to get to where you put people up. We honor people, we respect people,
right?
But you never put people up in which means you don't look at them and say, oh, we're just all the same, and you disrespect people. No, if you don't show honor, then it runs to a whole other problem, and we don't have time for that today to talk about it. But on the flip side, if you think, oh, they're super high and super special, and all of a sudden it's almost like they're just so famous in the church world or famous in the world, everything they touch turns to go, ooh, they're so special. You know what? You're robbing yourself, because when you're telling yourself you can never do that. And I'm telling you that with Jesus, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. So James brings that out. Elijah is a person just like you and I. Did you think about that? In fact, I'll go sidetrack a little bit. I would go so far to say that you're greater than Elijah.
All right.
And I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Because he referred to John the Baptist and said, of all the prophets born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. Now, he created the rank. I didn't. And then he goes on to say, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he.
Yes.
See, we're in the kingdom of God now.
Right.
We are in the covenant of God. We're in this New Testament, New Covenant. And as a New Testament, you maybe just got saved 5 minutes ago. Are you listening to me? You are already ahead of Elijah. Wow. Wow. And all this time, we've let the devil kick our teeth in, run us down, diminish us, devalue us, and tell us that we're no good and God doesn't like us or love us. And the whole time your father's saying, you are so valuable, you just don't know it yet. Amen.
Yes.
Elijah was the man. What did he do? He prayed. Look at that. He prayed intensely. Remember earlier in the verse 4, the heartfelt prayer. He prayed intensely and it stopped raining. Now that would be cool. Could you imagine? I'd like to try that sometime. I got tired of the rain, and we had the span of all this rain. I was like, all right, Jesus. Today I feel like sunny, 72 degrees, few clouds, and a light breeze from the east. And I don't even know if this is the east, because I'm directionally challenged. I don't know where north is. It's always up for me. It's in the east. Don't correct me when I'm preaching. I don't care where east. No, I'm joking. He's like, he's over there. I don't even know if he's right. So. But what we miss out sometimes is Elijah had a handle on some principles that we need to understand. Elijah just didn't stop the rain because he felt like, I'm tired of getting my sandals muddy. I need a time without any rain. No, he didn't. You know what he did? Elijah did what we have to learn to do, to raise our roar, to empower our prayer.
Amen.
Elijah prayed, but he prayed in a powerful, intense way. What am I telling you? If Elijah can pray, you can pray too.
Amen.
I know there's people still freaking out and all upset about all the viruses and diseases, but we can pray. I know inflation's going up and there seems like a shortage of food, but we can pray. I know your family might be going through a hard time and you're wondering if some of them are going to make it to heaven. But we can pray.
Amen.
I know you might have gotten a bad doctor's report, and right now your emotions, your mind are going a million different directions. But we can pray.
Yes.
I want you to understand that regardless of the situation, we can pray, and your prayer has powerful results.
Amen.
If Elijah can stop the rain, what can you do in your prayer life?
Yes. Yes.
See, I can pray.
I can pray.
The Bible tells us the men should always pray, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1. We can pray. Call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Jeremiah tells us 33:3. For what is impossible with men is possible with God.
Yes.
Luke 18:27. You have not because you ask not. James chapter 4, verse 2. So he didn't decide one day, I don't like rain. I'm gonna make rain stop. That's not how it played out, even though that's what it looks like on the surface. But the Bible tells us a little more of the background as we dig deeper in the Word of God. Number one, one of the three things he did real quickly is he found the word, he prayed the word, and he acted on the word. Notice this. Elijah found in the Word of God, Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 through 7. He found it in the Word as he was studying the Word of God. What was happening? In Deuteronomy, in that verse, God had made a promise to his people. If you serve me, I'll give you rain. And that was important for Israel where they're at. They had to really manage the resource of water. Because they either had a well, or they had cisterns to hold the water that had rained in the past, or they needed rain that would come out of the sky, what they referred to as living water. And that's all symbolizing later Jesus in the Gospel of John, but we don't have time for that in the moment. And so God had said, listen, if you serve me and obey me, I'll give you rain. But if you serve other gods and turn your back on me, I'll shut up the heavens. And in the season of this moment, what had happened, Israel had turned their back on God and were serving Baal. Elijah found it in the scripture. He found his situation in the Word. Once he found it in the Word, notice that Israel had been serving Baal, but there was still rain. Why? Because God had already commanded, I'm going to close it, but God still needed someone on the earth to decree it. God needs us to pray. Lord, why didn't you do something about it? I think many times we'll get to heaven thinking, or throughout the years of our Christian walk, I'm just waiting on God to do something. I wish he would do something. And you get to heaven and say, God, why didn't you do something? He said, I've been waiting for you. I've already spoken the word. I need you to find it in the word. I need you to find it in the word. I need you to find it in the word. Get the word and begin to pray. And so Elijah found in the word that, wait a minute, God said that if you obey him, he'll give us rain. And if you disobey him, he won't give him rain.
Right.
So in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah decided, I'm going to act on this.
Right.
He prayed, he sought God, the Bible says, and then he went out and began to deal. He prayed and it stopped raining. It wasn't because he wanted it to stop raining. It was because that's what God commanded out of his word. He began to pray the word to God. He began from the earthly, natural position of authority, begin to pray God's word. Well, why don't God just do it himself? Because God gave Adam authority on the earth. He gave it to humanity. God will not override his word. He'll not override his will. His word and his will are the same. So if he said it, he'll not override it. So when he said, listen, I'm giving authority in Genesis, I'm going to give it to Adam, he didn't say we're going to share it. He says, I'm giving it to him. And so God's not going to override your authority. He can't do it.
Right.
Well, didn't he do it with Saul, who later became Paul? He knocked him on the street. You understand, Saul thought he was serving God and was zealous for God, even though he didn't have the right revelation of who God was.
Right.
So his heart was doing what he thought was right. And God came in. Jesus showed up and redirected him on the right path.
Yep.
Amen. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Are you still with me? So here's Elijah, and he calls out the people of Israel. He says, listen, you have 450 prophets of Baal, and there's only one prophet for God. He said, I want you to get all Israel together. We need to get this finalized. I like to say it this way. Enough is enough. Sometimes in your prayer life, as long as you are accepting and can tolerate and manage and work around it, it will always survive. The devil's not going to just run because you got tired of him. He's not going to run because you got mad at him. He's only going to run when you step into the authority of the word and do something about it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You have to get to the places enough is enough. And Elijah went and said, enough is enough. Get the people together. And he said, listen, we need to settle this with a final decision. Let's do this. Let's take two sacrifices. You all pick them. And we're going to let you do it first. And you pray. And then I'll pray. And the God who answers by fire of the sacrifice wins. Okay, they said, that sounds good. And so if you've read that story years ago or read it later, I encourage you to do that. So Elijah had stood by and watched them, and the 450 prophets of Baal, they set up their sacrifice cut, and they begin to cry out. They begin to scream out. They begin to call upon their God Baal, and nothing happened, and Elijah just stood there. Now, Elijah had to be a bad dude, because you'll find out later, but he also had to have a very funny personality, because then he started mocking them, because it was going on for hours. Nothing was happening, and he began to say, cry louder. Maybe he's busy. One translation, and he kept doing it. One translation, he said, why don't you cry even louder? Maybe he's in the bathroom.
Right, right, right.
See, some of us, we try to be, so proper even to the devil. No, you ought to have a little fun with the devil. If you're going to beat him up, you might as well enjoy the journey. Amen.
Right.
And so he just began to mock him, and nothing happened. And then it was his turn. And he began to say, okay, here's what I want you to do. And he took 12 stones from the altar of God that had been torn down. And each one, the Bible says, represented each child of the covenant of the 12. And so it represented God's covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he set that up and put the sacrifice on it and said, now I'm going to dig a little ditch around this. Why are you digging a ditch? Don't worry about it. I'll show you later. He's digging a ditch. Why are you digging a ditch? Don't worry about it. Some stuff God will ask you to do and you won't even understand why until it's all said and done. And all of a sudden, he got the ditch around it dug out, and he said, now go get a bunch of water. And they poured a bunch of water. You can't do that. That seems like it's counterproductive. That's not how you get things done. That's not how you do it. Nope, that's what I want you to do. I want you to start pouring water on there. And all of a sudden, they started pouring water, and then he began to pray. Now, side note, Elijah had really pulled them in because he knew something that they didn't. And under the Old Testament covenant, when you would offer up a sacrifice, if the sacrifice was acceptable, it would always be consumed with fire. Fire from heaven would come down and consume it. How do you think with the Cain and Abel? How did Cain know that his sacrifice was not accepted and Abel's was? Because fire was burning on one and nothing on the other. Wow, I'm going to go down this road just for a second. We got to realize it's all about obedience. Even in your offering, when you're giving an offering, it's not tipping God or throwing money at God and he'll accept it. God doesn't accept just what you throw at him. God accepts what you do in obedience to him.
Right.
Some of us got a lot of dead offerings that didn't get any action from God. Oh, okay. And so Elijah started praying, and fire came out. And the hearts of Israel repented. And then what did Elijah do besides killing 450 prophets of Baal? He then prayed. As he prayed, he called for rain. Why did he call for rain? Because people had repented. What was he doing? He was working within the context of what God said. He had found it in the Word, what God had said. He wasn't making stuff up. He wasn't working off a trend. He didn't go by what he thought was popular or what felt emotional. No, he was working on what God said.
Yes.
The boundary of his prayer was based on the Word of God.
Amen.
The boundary. So that's exactly what Elijah did. He found the Word. He prayed the Word. He acted upon the Word. Number one, what do we need to do? Find the verse that belongs to you. If you want to raise the roar of your prayer, if you want to have powerful prayers, find it in the Word. Find it in the Word. If you've been here for any length of time, I talk about this many, many times. People come up, Pastor, I'm praying and believing, and I want you to join me. Okay, what's the verse you have? You ever see deer get caught in the headlights? Well, I know he can. I didn't ask you that. Oh, I know he wants to. I didn't ask you that. What verse do you have? You have to get serious about this. Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can't be passive with seeking God. You have to be diligent. You have to go after this thing. What verse do you have? Oh, I don't have. You ought to have several verses. You have several verses, but at least get one. Get a hold of it. Find the Word. Get a hold of that Word on the inside of you. Let that Word become alive to you. Get a hold. Get your hands. Just don't see it. Just don't hear it. Just don't look at it. Get your hands on it. Amen. Get your hands on it. Amen. Get your hands. Know what the Word is saying about the situation. Know and let God reveal it to your heart. Don't just let it be in your mind. Let it get in your heart. Oh, it's a different thing when it's in your heart. When it's in your heart, you have peace. When it's in your heart, you have joy. Nothing maybe has changed yet, but somehow you got joy and peace on the inside. Why? That's because the Bible says that God of hope may fill you with joy and peace in believing. Something happens when you get the Word revealed. That's why faith is a substance of things hoped for. The word substance, you could say, is the title deed. I'm praying for healing. Well, what's your verse? When you get a verse, stay on it. Meditate on it. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Hebrews 6 tells us that this is how we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Stay on it. Stay on it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. And that's what it means in Mark 11:23-24. Says, when you pray, believe that you have received them. How do you believe you already have it? You have the title deed. If someone gives you the title to a car, title to a piece of land, title to a house, you hold it, you own it. Someone says, that's not your house, I do, that's my house, I don't see it, you don't have to see it, I have the title. When you get the revelation, you get the title. Faith is the title. Faith is substance hoped for. This is a powerful thing. I don't want to just go through passing on it. Let me approach it differently. In Exodus, God had told Moses, take the rod. Take the rod, and by the rod, do miracles, do signs. Take the rod and do signs. Now, the things in the Old Testament are not only historical, but they are always examples of the future. Everything points to Jesus.
Yes.
Say, everything points to Jesus.
Everything.
You say, how does that point to Jesus? Good question, because out of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, write it down, read it in your own time. It said, out of the root of Jesse shall come a rod. Out of Jesse shall come a rod, referring to Christ. And the Spirit of God will rest upon him. And goes over seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Seven things. And I like the one in verse 3. And it says, it'll make him of quick understanding. Ooh, I like that. You got someone who's struggling in school? Get Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. And begin to pray and ask. So, Father, I thank you for that anointing. I thank you for your presence in my life. And here's some of the benefits. Oh, it don't make a difference. Yeah, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, God said. If you don't know, you can't have hope for it. If you can't have hope for it, you can't believe for it. Faith is a substance, title, deed of things hoped for. You ought to walk the halls and say, Father, I thank you. I'm getting ready to take a test, and according to what I have studied, but I thank you, Father God, for your anointing that empowers me, enables me, and I can be of quick understanding so I can understand. I can understand even more than my teachers know. Hallelujah. You ought to raise your faith to a level that just blows the mind. All of a sudden, you have insight and understanding greater than those who are instructing you. That's a powerful thing. That's an anointing thing. You can do that. Oh, no, never happened in my family, and it won't with that attitude, but you can be the first.
Amen.
You can be the first. God can use you to be the first.
Yeah, yeah.
It also says in Revelation 5 that and John was standing before the throne of God. And John sees this whole story being played out. And in Revelation chapter 5, John is seeing, and all of a sudden the scroll that's in the hand of one who sits on the throne. Yeah. That's the Father. And all of a sudden it says, who is worthy to open up the scroll and to break the seals? And no one was, they waited. They waited for 30 minutes and no one responded. Nobody in heaven. Nobody on earth. They even gave hell a chance. Anybody in hell can do this. Nobody. For 30 minutes, they waited. It was silent. And John begins to cry. And all of a sudden, one of the elders speaks up and says, don't cry. Don't weep. Don't cry. Why? Because the lion of the tribe of Judah has come, and he has overcome. And then John says that I saw in the midst of the throne and the elders and the beast, he said, I saw the one that looked like the lamb. Woo! Jesus is, remember, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the two sides of the Messiah they're waiting for, the suffering servant and the reigning king. The Messiah that comes from Joseph and the Messiah that comes from David. He is both sides of this, different seasons of this. Before he brings judgment, he was bringing mercy. And he is the Lamb, and he has, the Bible says in Revelation 5, verse 6, and he has still the scars to show where he was crucified. And with him, it says, are the seven eyes and the seven horns, which represent the seven spirits or the sevenfold anointing of the Spirit of God who's been sent throughout the earth. Eyes represent knowledge and insight. Horns always represent authority. Even in Daniel's prophecy, the horns that were added and removed always represented kings or people in positions of power. What am I telling you? The Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. What am I telling you? That when you get the anointed Word, when you get the Word that's been revealed to you, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. When you get the anointed Word on the inside of you, it gives you not only insight, it gives you ability. It gives you power. The power of God. That's why we taught last week that when there is the evidence, when you have the revelation, revelation is evidence that you have power, because the Bible tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So when you get revelation, you have power. When you get revelation, you have ability. When that word becomes alive, that's your grace and your empowerment in the moment. You know that you have it. You have it. You have the title deed, and you have the ability to do something about it. You have the ability to do something about it. You have the ability. One of the worst things the devil can convince you is that you're powerless and you can't do anything about it. But when you get a hold of the revelation of his word in your heart, understanding Matthew 13, the understanding of the word in your heart, Romans 10, we believe in the heart. When you get that understanding, that revelation, all of a sudden you have his ability. You have not only the revelation, you have the ability. Say, I have his power. That's a position of authority.
Yes.
That's the Matthew 18:18. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's the stuff that James talks about. It says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Why? Because you're not working off mental information. You're taking mental information, and the Spirit of God has made it heart revelation. And now you have got a hold of the rod. You've got a hold of the rod. You have got a hold of the rod. I got the rod in my hand. I just not only seen it, 1 John 1 again. We have seen it. We have heard it. We observed it. But we have also handled that word of life. You get the word of life in your hand. You get the word. You get a hold of this thing. You just can't be passive and let it come and go and you walk through. No. You've got to get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of the rod. Take the rod and do the signs. Take this rod and do signs. You say, where's that New Testament? It says that the Lord working with them as they preached the word, that with signs followed the word. Signs follow the word. Why? Because you got to get a hold of it. Get the word. 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 Don't let people water it down. Don't let them talk you out of it. Don't tell them, that's just too much. You know, I'm just going to cruise and whatever God wants me to have, he'll put it in my hands. No, he won't. That's a lie of the devil. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hebrews 11 tells us that they obtain, by faith, they obtain promises. You have to go after this. You can settle in the life that you're in. Love it, enjoy it, stay there, make it to heaven. We will love you, God will love you, but I'm telling you, if you ever get to the place of I'm tired of letting the devil knock me around, if you ever get to the place of I'm tired of falling back into that sin, if you ever get to the place of I'm tired of that addiction holding me back, if you ever, see, most people, what do? They run to somebody. If I get somebody to pray for me, I'll feel better. But they realize, because they don't get a change in their heart and learn how to operate by faith, that they don't stay there. They keep going back, and it gets worse. Get a hold of the word. Are you listening to me? Paul says it this way, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How do you take it? With your hand, get a hold of it. Stop, get a hold of the word. Oh, I don't have time. How many hours you watch TV this weekend? Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. You can be listening to the word while you're taking a shower. You and some of you need to think about that. You can be listening to the word as you're driving. You can be listening to that word as you're getting ready to eat. You can be listening to that word as you're getting ready to sleep. You can have, I mean, there's ways to get that in word in you day and night, Joshua 1, meditate on this word day and night. I'm not saying you gotta be weird. Weird people are weird. Righteous people aren't weird. Weird people are weird. Some of them are corrupt in the church world, but we're not gonna let them define who we are. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then Joshua 1, then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. My, get a hold of the rod. Get a hold of the rod. Get a hold of the rod. Get a hold of the rod, which is the word of God. Elijah found the situation in the word. He acted on that. He prayed that. Get a hold of the word. Say, get a hold of the word. Elijah was confident because he had a revelation of the word, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have, that when we pray, we know he hears us if we're praying in alignment with his will. Right. And if we are confident, know that we're praying in alignment with his will, then we know we have the petitions we've asked. Amen. How do I know somebody's in faith? Not only do they have peace and joy, they have confidence. I can look into their eye, and if they look like they're scared and they're nervous, you can have hell and high water around you, but still have peace. Yes. Oh, they cried out to Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't you care? We're about to die. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't you care? We're about to die. He later rebuked them and said, you have little faith. Why? Because they could have taken it and let him sleep. Oh, I just got to call pastor at 3 a.m. Get him prone. You call me at 3 a.m. You might not get a prayer. You might get something else. Hallelujah. No. That's why I got RoboKiller. It'll kill any calls that come through at 3 a.m. Pastor, I need your prayer. No, you don't. You need to get the word. Get the word for yourself. Get the word. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask people to pray for you, but listen, some people misunderstood the power of prayer, and they'll get online, and they'll ask people on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, please pray for me. You don't want that. Let me help you. That's a sinking ship. You don't want that. You don't. Are you listening to me? You do. Trust me. You do not. I mean, if you want to die, do it. But if you do, if you want to live, don't do it. I'm serious about it. Don't do it. Well, Pastor, why? Isn't it I get more people to pray that it'll work out? Where do you get that? You got to get the word. Listen to me. You'll not get more people to pray. You'll get more people talking fear and death and doubt in your life.
Sure will.
I'm fighting for my life, saints. I need as many people to agree with me. I'm going to live. That sucker's dead. You might as well start planning the funeral. They don't understand. I'm not being cold and cruel. But they don't understand the principles of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How does he operate? What's the principles of the kingdom? If you don't understand the principles, that's like going to a different work, doing your old job and the old policies, procedures. It doesn't work. Well, it should work. No, you can say all you want, but you haven't learned how God does stuff.
Right.
Here's how powerful this is. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Wait a minute. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. For this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Listen to me. This is the reason you don't want to throw out prayers in the masses. Because as you're praying for life, there's 10 people praying for death.
Right. Yep.
Oh, they're not praying. Oh, yeah, they are. They just don't realize it. They even come into agreement that you'll die. Oh, no, they don't. They love me. No, they're saying, can you believe what happened to her? Did you hear? What did you hear? I heard she got cancer and is about to die. Only has a few weeks to live. Oh, I heard that too. That's horrible. I feel so bad for their family. We should do something knowing that she's going to die. What are they doing? They're joining their faith of fear together to kill you.
Right.
They might say they love you, but they just don't understand.
Right.
Am I helping somebody?
Yep.
If you're in a battle, don't put it on social. If someone pray for me, I'm going, no, you might as well be shooting yourself in the foot. Listen, just hit yourself in the head, knock yourself out, and wake up, and you'll forget about it. You won't even do it. Save yourself the time. Get in the word. Get a hold of the rod. Get a hold of the rod. And God will bring and show you the right people that should be in your circle to agree with. And it will change. You need people that are right with God who have faith in that area.
Yes.
So if you need somebody and you're struggling financially, don't find somebody who's good on healing. Find somebody who's good on finance. As a man or woman of faith, they say, I need to know what I'm missing. I need you to agree with me. That you know their heart, that they'll pray with you and not sit back and gossip about you.
Right.
I think that's probably worth the whole service right there. Some of you are like, I just think we need a... Oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to leave it alone. Elijah was confident because he had revelation of the word. Number two, we not only have to find the word that belongs to us, we need to pray the word. Isaiah 43:26, if you're taking notes, put me in remembrance. It's not God forgot. You need to remind yourself.
Amen.
You need to be able to walk those halls and say, Father, I thank you. Your word says in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes I'm healed. I'm thankful that Exodus 15:26 says, you're the God who heals me. I thank you, Father God. I give you praise because you tell me in Matthew 15:26 that healing is bread for me as a child. I thank you, Father God, that I am the healed of the Lord, that you took that infirmity according to, are you with me? You begin to say, Father, I thank you. Your word says you said it. I'm holding you accountable. You're not threatening God. You're stirring yourself up saying, God, I love you and I honor you. And you said it. I believe it. Romans 4, who did not consider his own self to Abraham, did not consider his own self the limitation, but what did he do? He was fully persuaded that the God who said it was well able. Father, I thank you. I'm just going to praise you that you are my God. You are my healer. You are my healer. I receive healing in my life according to your word.
Yes.
Get the rod. Begin to pray the word. Pray the word. Woo! If God said it, will he not do it?
Yes.
Numbers 23:19. For he watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Find the word that belongs to you. Pray the word. Last but not least, act on that word.
Yeah.
Some of us are waiting for God to back up his semi and drop in our life. Beep, beep, beep. God was waiting for someone to rise up and tell Israel, you have defied God. You have served Baal. Enough is enough. Let's take care of this. Until you rise up. Like, why don't God just deal with it? Maybe he's wanting you to rise up and be who he's called you to be. And deal with the problem. Deal with the situation. I just wish they would all like me. You don't want everybody to like you. If everybody starts liking you, you better be a little concerned, because right now you know what they're plotting against you. But if they all start liking you, you have no idea what they're plotting, because no one has everybody liking them.
Right. That's right.
Right.
I just don't. Yeah, I know. Everybody's got an opinion. In America, we all think our opinions are the most important. It must be true. I believe it. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Oh, there's no God. I'm an atheist. Well, you won't be long one day. One thing I know for sure. But God still loves people. Act on his word. Jesus said in Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord and not do what I ask you to do? Faith without works is dead, James 2:20 says, chapter 2, verse 20. We enter his kingdom, his authority, Matthew 7, verse 21, by obeying the will of the Father. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, James. Listen to me, a child of God. Battles happen to all of us. But you can win. God wants you to win. Christianity is not a crutch. Christianity is not taking the least place of resistance. Christianity is following God even in the midst of opposition and obstacles to pursue God. It's easy to go to the wide road where everybody's going. All you have to do is say the right thing, do the right thing, and a big crowd accepts you, but God rejects it. We live, like we said before, we're living in a season, a time of God's mercy and grace, which means, it doesn't mean everything goes. It means that you have an opportunity to repent.
Yes.
But Matthew 25 is very clear. There is a day when the door is closing, and there will not be a time to repent. That becomes a season of judgment. It's not a magical formula. It's not unique people. It's people that take the word, take it to God in prayer, stand on it, and chase the devil off.
Amen.
Amen? Get the word. Grab the rod. Pray the word. Stand your ground and obey the word and chase the devil off. Because he can't stand light. He can't stand God's presence. He can't stand. He can't do anything. God's authority is so much stronger than him. Amen? I mean, when Jesus walked around, even he just showed up. Demon-possessed people that nobody could even do anything about. The moment he stepped out of the boat, one that was living in the cemeteries that nobody could do and chain, he would break the chains. But when Jesus showed up, he came running to him and fell at his feet and worshiped him and said, can you cast me into these pigs? There was no fight. There was no debate. There was no argument. The God you serve has a roar that will shake the earth and the heavens.
Amen.
And he gives us the opportunity through the power of his word, not your word. Your word's in alignment with his word.
Right.
That's why you need revelation, to make sure it's his and not yours. Not your emotions, not some weird stuff, not you making it up, not you faking it. But get a hold of the rod, the word, and shake the earth. We're called to make a difference. You're not called to survive. You're not called to just get by. You're not called just to pay bills. You're not called just the lowest standard of expectation. God's called you to make a difference. God's called you to rise above, beyond anything you've ever done or experienced. Are you listening to me? You're not called to just suffer through. No, you're called to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You're called to reign in this life, the Bible says. Greater is he that is in you. I want to stir up on the inside of you that word that you begin to say, wait a minute, no matter where I'm at, there's still best days ahead of me. Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. You got to get the rod, pray the word, stand and obey, and run the devil off. Amen? If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. If you bow your head and close your eyes, with no one looking around, every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a short prayer, a powerful prayer, if you pray with me from your heart. If you've never heard the gospel, or maybe there are times you've let stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right, this is your time. This is your opportunity. No one moving around. This is too important of a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to know Jesus, if you're ready to make things right with God, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, dying on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, I want to speak a blessing over your life. If you prayed that prayer at the count of three, I want you to lift your hand real quickly, hold it up. 1, 2, 3, Pastor, that was for me. Who did I pray with? I see the hand. God bless you. I see the second hand. God, keep it up. I see that third hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I see that fourth hand. God bless you. I see that fifth hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Father, we thank you for everyone that just accepted you and received you. We curse the curse against them. We bind the traps of the enemy. We break them and crush them by the authority in the name of Jesus. And now, Father God, I sanctify them with the precious blood of Jesus. We set them apart to serve you, to do your will. We thank you that you've called them into your family. Now strengthen them with might, according to your word. Strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Listen to me. If you prayed that prayer and you need something, we don't chase people around here. It's a little different than most churches. We like to catch the fish that want to get caught, not the ones we're trying to stomp down that keep wiggling, trying to get out of the boat. If you want to get out of the boat, you're welcome to do that. We love you one way or the other. We're going to heaven. Amen? Amen. So we don't force people to go to heaven. We just invite them to go to heaven. We don't force feed people. We just prepare the dinner and invite people. So we want to tell you, if you need something, need a Bible, need encouragement, need direction, need prayer, let us know. You can connect through us on the social side, across the hall, the guest information area, call the office during the week. We're here for you. We'll go to great lengths to stand with you and for you. But we're not going to chase anybody. I find that that's a tactic of the devil to wear people out. All of a sudden, we're so exhausted chasing 10 people that didn't want to be caught that the one person that's looking for help, we don't have time for. We're too tired. So I don't do that. So we look for people. So you let us know, and we're here for you. Amen? Amen. Get a Bible. Get a church. Be part of the church. Don't just get right with God and go back and live your old lifestyle. Be a part of the church. If you want to make heaven, be part of the church. Oh, I don't need church to make it heaven. Yeah, you did, too, because you won't. It's not because it gets you saved, but it'll help keep you saved. Keep you right with God. People that don't want to go to church, their priorities jacked up. They won't make it. Because the pressure and temptation of the enemy is only going to get greater as we get closer. Yes. But the power of God gets stronger. Can I get an amen? Amen? And also get a cause. Find somebody that you can help. Invite them to church. Bring people. We should always be open to invite people to church. It'll help keep your spiritual walk fresh because you start looking to help other people, just not yourself.